607 FM Talk 1065 and Mobile Mornings with news, weather, traffic, talk, and talk with you as well. Remember, the text line open for you right now at 343-0106, 343-0106. Use that same phone number after 8. We'll be taking your calls this morning like we do on all these different shows we have here at FM Talk 1065. And we'll get back into enumerating those here very, very shortly. We'll start off this hour with the latest on coronavirus, the fight nationally and here at home, and then get into the stories from last night and Confederate monuments coming down in our state, unrest in other parts of the country as well. But first, yeah, the fight against the virus by the numbers. Here's Dalton.
Sean, in the United States now, 1,860,000 total positive cases of coronavirus and nearly 107,000 have died due to COVID-19. After yesterday, 22,153 new cases added yesterday and 730 deaths reported nationally after only 638 deaths reported on Sunday. Both of those numbers much lower than we're used to seeing. According to the Atlantic's COVID tracker, testing is still on its way up. They track the number of national test results until 3 p.m. every day, and according to their numbers, there were 403,000 tests reported nationally yesterday, the fifth day in a row that over 400,000 tests have been performed. There have been 17.3 million total tests nationally now since the pandemic began. In Alabama, 18,246 confirmed cases in the state. Yesterday, there were 229 cases added. That's our lowest number since April 30th, which dropped both the 7-day and 14-day averages. 7-day average for cases per day is now 446, which is down from its peak, and the 14-day average at 428 cases per day. 644 have now died due to COVID-19 in our state. Yesterday, 14 deaths were reported. 7-day and 2-week average of daily deaths is 11 per day. And they dropped the number of total tests. Yesterday, I reported around 220,000 total tests for the state. They've, on the Alabama Department of Public Health website, on their dashboard, have dropped that number to 201,000 tests. So I'm not sure why they dropped that number yesterday. Maybe there's an issue with their dashboard. But they do say that there have been over 74,000 tests performed in the last 2 weeks, and that 1,876 people have been hospitalized due to COVID-19 since March 13th. Yesterday, there were 23 new hospitalizations in the state. Looking at some local numbers, for Mobile County, 2,271 positive cases with 118 deaths. Mobile added 32 new cases and 2 deaths yesterday. Baldwin County has 292 positive cases with 9 deaths and only added 2 new cases yesterday. Now, we have seen such a low number daily now for Baldwin County. Remember, they opened the beaches there. Are we at three and a half weeks, just about?
It was May 1st, right? I think that weekend was okay. May 1st.
It's been about 4 weeks since they opened the beaches.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I would be lying if I didn't say I expected at least a little rise in the numbers for Baldwin County, but we have not seen that. And there have been
So what's going on? Because, I mean, you've got, said it wasn't just the localized interaction, it was going to be all the people coming from other states, right?
Yeah, and you think of everyone that works in the service industry down there that's coming into contact constantly with all these visitors from out of town, but we have just not to this point seen that rise in Baldwin County. I don't think they've had a reported death since mid last week. So 292 positive cases and 9 deaths total for Baldwin County. Washington County has 71 cases with 6 deaths. Clark County, 146 cases with 2 deaths. Monroe County, 43 cases and 2 deaths. Escambia, 72 cases and 3 deaths. Choctaw County has 153 cases of COVID with 10 deaths. Conecuh County has 41 cases and 1 death. And Wilcox County now with 150 cases and 7 deaths. And looking at the 3 counties that to this point have been hit hardest by COVID-19, Mobile still leads in pretty much every number, 2,271 cases and 118 deaths. Jefferson County now with 1,859 cases and 103 deaths. And Montgomery County catching up to Jefferson County in terms of cases. They now have 1,758 cases, just 100 fewer than Jefferson County, but only 43 deaths in Montgomery, about 60 fewer than Jefferson County, and about 75 fewer than Mobile County. But obviously, Montgomery County's population smaller than that of either Jefferson or Mobile County. So that's a look at around the state.
All right, Dalton Orwig with the update there, 6:13, and so much to talk about here at home in Alabama. Confederate monument removed at Lynn Park. We'll talk about that also at Robert E. Lee statue at Robert E. Lee High School. And a question question about yesterday with all that going on Jefferson Davis's birthday, state holiday. Should that continue to be a state holiday? We'll talk about that. Also, with the curfew about to take hold. Here's something. Okay, the side note here. Side note. New York yesterday, Manhattan. You see the looting? Mm-hmm. See the video of the looting?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me if anybody thinks this is true. When did they loot?
Before
the curfew.
So New York...
I don't know, something about it. I don't know if it stood out to anybody. So they set the curfew in New York, I think 7 o'clock or something like that. So the looters did their looting before the curfew. Y'all see what... It's the adherence to the curfew, but not the destroying and stealing other people's things.
Yes.
Like, we're going to... Oh, well, we'll be out after curfew.
Right.
So we'll get our looting started. When I saw that yesterday, I said, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So the looters go, well, you know, curfew's 7 o'clock, so if we're going to kick in boarded up windows and go in and steal stuff from people and destroy their property and ruin their businesses, we ought to do it before curfew kicks in. Is anybody else out there? Does that baffle anybody else? I guess, in my mind, if I'm going to be a derelict thug, criminal, I don't care about the curfew. I just go do it whenever. But they were like, you know, I don't want to violate that curfew, right. So we got to go do our looting before curfew. My God.
Got home in time for dinner. Yeah, videos of looters breaking into jewelry stores, cell phone stores. It was pretty chaotic again last night in Brooklyn. I don't think near as many cities were, you know, enveloped in chaos yesterday as they were over the weekend, but still plenty of protesters out. And in New York specifically, the protesters outnumber the police by so many numbers. And you also have leadership from there, whether it's Cuomo or de Blasio. And de Blasio seems intent on not making these arrests and not sending the cops in with any kind of force whatsoever.
See where that gets them. See where that gets them. By the way, here in Alabama, the Governor Ivey yesterday put out a memo that she had given the Adjutant General of the Alabama National Guard the right to bring National Guard troops to bear if needed. 1,000, I think, were mobilized. I'll tell you, pretty interesting, though. Just, I don't know the whole scope of it, but from the inside, that came out, that memo yesterday. I guess before the memo even came out, a buddy of mine who's in the National Guard was mobilized, and then they were sent home. Yesterday. So I...
Interesting.
And they were mobilized, I can't say, but they were, I mean, I think they were on a specific, going to a specific city in the state, and then they were sent home. They got mobilized, and then they were not mobilized.
That's interesting. And the governor also apparently spoke with the president yesterday. I don't know if that was on that big conference call.
What must it be like the two of them going?
I bet it's just all kinds of fun.
So, and President Trump, of course, calling for governors and mayors to do their job to crack down out there. More on that from Bob Constantini from Westwood One.
It could be described as the president leading by example. National Guard mobilization in the District of Columbia requires an order from federal military leaders as well as the mayor. So by clearing out Lafayette Park just before the curfew in D.C., Mr. Trump urged governors and mayors to do the same sort of thing to prevent more nights of unrest.
That is why I am taking immediate presidential action to stop the violence and restore security and safety in America.
The president's walk over to St. John's provided a chance for him to hold up a Bible in an area where some media still could smell the tear gas. Bob Costantini, Washington.
Right, we will talk about President Trump and his trip across the street there for what some are calling, detractors are calling, the photo op with the Bible. Get into that. And also, the story out now that protest that was slated tomorrow in Bay Minette, right? Black Lives Matter protest, has been canceled.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was interesting, do you think that is a sign? I don't know, but do you think that is a sign of outsiders in the mix, in the organization? Because if they're looking county by county, you're going to go to the county seat, right?
Right.
That's the big city. Let's go to the county seat. And in Mobile, that works. But in Baldwin County's history, it's pretty interesting. And we can go back, and when we have more time down the road, we'll do what we've done before. Talk about the moving of the courthouse up to Bay Minette way back when in Baldwin County history. But Bay Minette is the county seat, but Bay Minette is probably one of the smaller cities mm-hmm. in Baldwin County. So yeah. that I wonder if that is a tell, the fact that it was going to be organized for Bay Minette, that it was outsiders doing this. Because if it was somebody inside the county and you wanted attention and TV cameras, you'd pick, I think, Spanish Fort or Daphne or Fairhope or Gulf Shores or Orange Beach or Foley or somewhere like that. And maybe I'm wrong, but Bay Minette seemed to be like somebody who was outside. Well, the county seat is Bay Minette. We'll go there.
Kind of like when you get invited to a party by someone you don't really know, and then you find out there are only going to be four or five people there. I don't really want to go anymore.
I'm not going to make that. All right, 618 FM Talk 106.5 on the way in sports.
Well, we'll talk about the life of legendary Auburn coach Pat Dye, who passed away yesterday at the age of 80, and Major League Baseball owners preparing another proposal for the players. I'm not sure we'll ever get baseball played this season. I'll tell you more coming up in sports.
Make no mistake, an IRS problem is a serious legal matter. I'm local attorney John Willis. My law office is in Fairhope, Alabama, and we focus exclusively on helping people solve their IRS tax problems. Several national tax resolution companies have recently been hit with consumer complaints, lawsuits, and government actions. As a result, many have shut down or filed bankruptcy. So before you send money to an out-of-town company with high-pressure salesmen and a TV spokesperson, check their reputation. My firm has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and we've handled hundreds of cases right here on the Gulf Coast. Your initial consult is completely free and confidential, and we'll tell you on the spot exactly how much it'll cost. So if you're facing IRS wage levies, bank levies, or tax liens, call us today at 251-990-3261 or visit our website, willislawpc.com. That's 251-990-3261 or willislawpc.com. If you have IRS problems, you need an attorney. You need me, John Willis.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.
Good morning, I'm Jessica Taloney with WKRG News 5 this morning. A suspect is in custody this morning after a fire destroyed an empty restaurant in Tillman's Corner. Flames ripped through Bangkok Thai cuisine Monday night. No one was hurt in the fire. One person was arrested. 13 protesters were arrested in Mobile Sunday night. They are still in jail this morning because of a glitch with the computer system. The protesters and others in Mobile Metro Jail cannot post bond while the jail's record system is down. System crashed Monday morning. Some of those arrested during the protests on Airport Boulevard at the I-65 service road have been charged with burglary, arson, looting, criminal mischief, and disorderly conduct. The Dolphin Island Sea Lab reopens today. The aquarium is back open after being closed for more than 2 months due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Doors at the Sea Lab open at noon. Before visiting, guests are required to purchase tickets online. I'm Jessica Taloney, WKRG News 5.
You know, these days, delivery is the new norm. And to that point, I saw a mobile tire service the other day. Speaking of which, I got Scott Blair, owner of 2U Tire, on the phone. 2U Tire brings a tire store to you. Scott, now how does this work?
We have a huge Sprinter van with a European tire changer, balancer, precision balance tools, a flat repair station, and tire pressure sensors all on board.
Oh, that's cool. So you bring the tires with you?
Yes. Instead of selling someone whatever we have in stock, we work with our clients to determine the exact tire to fit their needs and their expectations, then bring the tires with us to install. For fleets, that means on the job site or possibly after the vehicles get back at the end of the day.
That's so important for business owners and fleet managers, especially right now. So how can folks get in touch with you?
We can be reached at 251-415-5500 or logging on to 2utire.com. That's the number 2, letter U, tire.com, or find us on Facebook.
It's great to hear the creativity here and that you're doing so well helping out folks along the Gulf Coast. Y'all stay safe, and we're going to check back with you again real soon.
Mobile Radio's only staff meteorologist is FM Talk 106.5's Dr. Bill Williams. With a three-decade track record of getting it right, get your weather from Dr. Bill Williams 4 times an hour every weekday morning on FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning, 621 on FM Talk 106.5. It's time for the Mobile Morning Sports Report. Legendary former Auburn football head coach Pat Dye passed away yesterday at 80 years old.
I wouldn't swap this year for any year that I've been at Auburn. I wouldn't swap it, men, because I've watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels but I watched you grow up and become men.
That was Dye speaking to the 1989 Auburn team after they beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl for the 4th year in a row. It was the first time since 1901 that the game was played outside of Birmingham. Dye was born in Blythe, Georgia, played college football for the Bulldogs before starting his coaching career at Alabama under head coach Bear Bryant. After taking over as the Auburn head coach in 1981, Dye led the Tigers to four SEC championships, was named the conference's Coach of the Year three times. His 99 wins ranks third in program history, and Dye was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2005. A couple weeks ago, Dye went to East Alabama Medical Center in Opelika for kidney complications. He tested positive for COVID-19 while in the hospital. According to 24/7 Sports, Dye was moved to the Bethany House in Auburn, and early yesterday morning was able to listen to phone calls from family, friends, and former players. A cause of death has not been released, and details will be announced at a later day on a memorial for the coach. As Major League Baseball owners and players try to find common ground on player compensation before beginning the delayed 2020 season, the MLB is preparing its next offer to the MLB Players Union. In March, the Players Union and owners agreed to a deal that would pay the players a prorated salary, but that was on the condition that fans would be allowed to attend games. Last week, the owners sent a new proposal to the players that called for an 82-game regular season and pay cuts for every player in the league. The proposal was nearly universally panned by ball players. The union made a counterproposal on Sunday calling for prorated pay and a 114-game regular season that would end by Halloween. Now, according to ESPN, the owners are mulling over the idea of a 50-game regular season, which they believe that the commissioner, Rob Manfred, has the power to implement if the two sides cannot come to an agreement. The players would receive prorated play with the new proposal, but that would only be 30% of the length of a normal 162-game season. Clemson Tigers head football coach Dabo Swinney said yesterday that wide receiver Justin Ross will miss the 2020 football season. Ross was injured during spring practice in March. He's now scheduled to fly to Pittsburgh on Thursday and have surgery to correct a congenital fusion on Friday. The condition, which Ross was apparently born with, is an abnormal fusion of any two of the seven bones in the neck. Ross was set to become the team's top returning receiver after making 66 catches for 865 yards and 8 touchdowns last season. 624, that's a look at sports on Mobile Mornings.
For the freshest fruits and veggies straight from the local farm at everyday low prices, make Allegri Farm Market part of your daily shopping routine. In Daphne on Highway 181 at County Road 64. Fresh, local, Allegri Farm Market.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The skies will be mostly cloudy across the Gulf Coast today. Look for scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon with temperatures in the upper 80s. Tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s. And then tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms are likely with highs in the mid 80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Does a new building with a wind rating of 175 miles per hour appeal to you? That certainly is within our capability. This is Scott Armstrong with Kemco Metal Buildings. For almost 50 years, Kemco has been designing and constructing the highest quality steel buildings for our customers. Whether you need a building for commercial, industrial, agricultural, storage, church, or community use, or if you just want a Kemco building for yourself, please contact us. Kemco will use state-of-the-art software and our many years of experience to help you custom design a metal building that best suits your needs. Check out our website at KemcoBuildings.com or stop by our 40,000 square foot facility on Pollard Road in Daphne. We're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to give you homegrown service. That is KEMKO251-626-0594. Our goal is to exceed your expectations.
Good morning for the CarDoctor.com traffic center at Lot in McCrary. They've got three cars involved in an accident without injuries. It's off to the side of the road as Mobile Police Department say no other wrecks in the roadways. Good start coming in from the eastern shore across the Bayway and no delays from the 1065 split to Saraland. Spring Hill Toyota at 3062 Government Boulevard in Mobile still open for business and ready to serve you with no payments for 90 days and 0% interest for 60 months on most models. Call 450-1000. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106. Five traffic.
Thank you, Kane. 626 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. Our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, joins us shortly, and it's beginning to feel a lot like July out there. 75 to get started on this Tuesday morning.
And humid.
Yes, for sure. And yesterday evening, it was in Birmingham and in Montgomery as a Confederate icons, statues, memorials, depends on what you have an obelisk in one case, a statue in the other, coming down there in Lynn Park in Birmingham, and then in Montgomery, it was the Robert E. Lee statue. Protesters toppled the statue of Robert E. Lee in front of Montgomery High School, and that happened yesterday. So that one was done without directive of the city, where in the case of Birmingham, it was the mayor calling for the removal of the obelisk there, which is in direct violation of a state law. That's going to be interesting. We'll talk more about that coming up.
Good morning, I'm Jessica Taloney with WKRG News 5 this morning. A suspect is in custody this morning after a fire destroyed an empty restaurant in Tillman's Corner. Flames ripped through Bangkok Thai cuisine Monday night. No one was hurt in the fire. One person was arrested. 13 protesters were arrested in Mobile Sunday night. They are still in jail this morning because of a glitch with the computer system. The protesters and others in Mobile Metro Jail cannot post bond while the jail's record system is down. System crashed Monday morning. Some of those arrested during the protest on Airport Boulevard at the I-65 service road have been charged with burglary, arson, looting, criminal mischief, and disorderly conduct. The Dolphin Island Sea Lab reopens today. The aquarium is back open after being closed for more than 2 months due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Doors at the Sea Lab open at noon. Before visiting, guests are required to purchase tickets online. I'm Jessica Taloney, WKRG News 5.
Industry leader UniFirst is committed to supporting Gulf Coast frontline workers and salute folks across this great country working hard, caring for our neighbors, and keeping our economy strong. UniFirst supplies hygienically clean workwear and facility services, as well as masks, hand sanitizer, disinfectants, and cleaning supplies. These critical products ensure our community has a healthy experience and environment. Learn how UniFirst can help you present a professional image and provide a safe work environment. Visit unifirst.com today.
Talking with my buddy Austin Key from Arrow Exterminators. And Austin, you told me over time, this time of year is swarming season here in South Alabama.
It is. It's upon us. And, you know, just because they're swarming, termites work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Typically during swarm season, you'll see them because they're flying around at nighttime. You'll see them inside the house. For one, I would say turn the lights off on the porch, close your blinds if you're not expecting company, and limit that light source. Swarmer is not the one that does the damage to the wood. It's the reproductive of the colony. And just means that they're in the vicinity of the home, not necessarily that you have a particular problem. It just depends on how many you're seeing and where you're seeing them. I mean, if you call and you say, hey, they're 2 inches deep in my bathtub, or I've got them piled up in a particular room, or I see them coming out of a wall, then you definitely have a problem. But if you're just seeing a few here or there, it's that time of the season, and they're going to find their way in. The best thing to do is, you know, we can send a home evaluator out to check out the situation. And then what we'll do is come in and install the Centricon baiting system on the home. You can reach us at 888-GO-ARROW or arrowexterminators.com.
There are many important issues in Alabama today, and none are more important than ensuring our children have loving, nurturing families to care for them. There are more than 6,000 foster children in Alabama who need you to be the difference in their lives. So please join our team for foster children. Open your heart and open your home. Become an Alabama foster or adoptive family. Call 1-866-4-AL-KIDS and become the change in a child's life.
Sponsored by the Alabama DHR, the ABA, and this station.
Report. Protests across America. As curfew fell over New York City last night, there were still people on the streets.
As the 11 p.m. curfew approached, scattered across Manhattan, groups of opportunists vandalized and looted some stores. High-end retail stores on Fifth Avenue were hit. A few banks had windows smashed. And Macy's flagship store was broken into and partially ransacked by a larger group. Police arrived and were able to arrest several who had broken into the iconic department store. But it wasn't all bad last night. Thousands of people marched peacefully down Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn, deep into the borough. Steve Kastenbaum in Brooklyn, New York.
Two people have been killed during unrest in the Chicago suburb of Cicero as protests continue in Las Vegas. Two police officers were shot dealing with protesters. I'm John Trout.
I'm Rosa Kay with Your Money Now. Marriott International has reopened all its hotels in China, stateside. The CEO says Marriott hotels that stayed open have crossed the 20% occupancy threshold and continue to see rooms booked, but not across the board. Two locations in New Orleans have announced they will close for 3 weeks in July and August. Bracing for a slow recovery from the pandemic, Southwest Airlines is offering employees buyout packages and temporary paid leaves, predicting its flying capacity would probably be down about 30% in the fall. Amazon's bestseller rankings show sales of pepper spray, Black Lives Matter merchandise, and racial justice literature are spiking. The e-tailer calculates bestsellers based on sales volume, and that's updated hourly. The Dow closed 92 points higher, the Nasdaq gained 62, and the S&P added 11 at the end of the session. Futures are pointed toward a higher market open. And that's Your Money Now.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today. And see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Your employees and customers have new expectations when it comes to cleanliness. Cintas has the products and services you need to feel prepared. A trained Cintas technician can apply disinfectant and sanitizer spray to common surfaces. And we'll keep you well stocked with gloves, face masks, hand sanitizer, and disinfectant wipes, professional cleaning supplies, and PPE. Just a few ways Cintas can help you keep your business safe. Visit Cintas.com and get ready for the workday.
Dick's River Shooting is part of the Baldwin County community, locally owned and operated in Robertsdale off Interstate 10, exit 53 Wilcox Road. We're open for business and have everything you need for shooting, including rifles, shotguns, pistols, revolvers, ammo, targets, scopes, gun cases, range bags, and reloading supplies. We thank the community for your continued support and want you to know we're following necessary guidelines to ensure your well-being. New summer hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday. Dick's River Shooting Center. Get your aim on.
Now weather with Mobile Radio's only staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams.
6:35 and good morning, Dr. Bill.
Good morning, Sean.
So I have been lamenting this morning. It was a touch of July out there. 75 as we get started this morning. This is, okay, summertime is showing itself.
Yes, nice and warm, nice and humid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it's going to be today. And right on through the week, and we're going to add to it some rainfall. In fact, some rainfall, because we may very well see some heavy rains coming in here over the weekend and early next week, depending on the track of the tropical depression. It's now over the southwestern Gulf. That depression will become a tropical storm, and it'll stay a couple of days down in the Gulf of Campeche, west of the Yucatan Peninsula, and then gradually begin to drift to the north and possibly north-northeast. So everything along the Gulf Coast depends on the future track of that storm and the strength of the system as it moves out of that area, perhaps Friday and Saturday. In the meantime, we'll have mostly cloudy skies today with a good chance for some showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. It'll be up around 88 degrees. Yesterday, we reached 92, and that's the warmest so far this year. As for tonight, we might see a few showers and thunderstorms around, especially in the evening, low tonight in the low 70s. And then tomorrow, an even better chance for showers and thunderstorms. The reason for that, an upper air low-pressure system moving across Alabama and Mississippi, and that will help set off more of those afternoon thunderstorms. So tomorrow, a very good chance for showers and thunderstorms. That should keep temperatures in the mid-80s. The rest of the week, Thursday, again, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the afternoon, high in the mid-80s. Friday, very good chance for showers and thunderstorms, upper 80s. And over the weekend, that's kind of dependent on what evolves there in the Gulf. But we can look for scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms over the weekend with highs in the mid to upper 80s.
All right. Do you see these tracks? You talk about at least 2 days down the Bay of Campeche. Pick the spaghetti model you want to see, but I mean, people are looking at the one that comes up our way, right? That's what's got people people's attention. Any bearing that one has more chance than the other?
Well, right now, again, it's very early to try to get a definite track on it, but we do know that it's going to be moving to the north during its early couple of days as it heads out of the southwestern portion of the Gulf. And that would mean it would be taking aim at the central Gulf Coast. But there is a possibility that it could turn a little more to the northeast, which might threaten the Florida Panhandle. Again, that's very early, and we also are looking at some strengthening, but the question is how much strengthening. It looks like at least by Saturday it'll be a tropical storm, probably a minimal tropical storm as it begins to move out of the southwestern Gulf.
You've taught us
we
over
will
time.
See, though, yeah. An increasing flow of moisture coming from that system over the next few days, and it's going to be very noticeable as we get into Friday, and then over the weekend, we could get a lot of rain out of this system as it moves up into the northern Gulf.
Like flooding issues, those kind of things from it?
That could very well be the situation, yes. And we can forget about any rainfall deficit that we've been talking about over the last a month or two, because we could get a lot of rain out of this system.
It's funny how things equal out. And also, I mean, you've told, and this is, I guess, goes to your point that in hurricane season, early and late, our best chance of having something is form is right here, like in our backyard, Gulf or the Caribbean, right?
That's right. And particularly in June, tends to be early in one of the really super storms that come out in June. It was back in 1957, and that's a storm caused hundreds of fatalities in Louisiana, and it came out of the southwestern Gulf, and that is a really a very, very famous hurricane.
All right, Dr. Bill, here we are a couple days now. It's day two officially of hurricane season. We could be by the end of the day talking about our third named storm, right?
Yeah, it looks that way, and it's going to just sit there for a couple of days and churn around the southwestern Gulf, but it will continue to kind of push water up toward the north. So we'll see the Gulf start to feel the effects of it, even in the northern Gulf, in the next couple of days.
Well, Dr. Bill, I wish you had better news, but I appreciate the update.
Okay, Sean.
All right, there's our staff meteorologist, tropical weather expert, Dr. Bill Williams. Hold on 1 second. Let me get my pen and pencil out here. So, snapper fishing Friday canceled, Saturday canceled. I was going to see if you wanted to go this weekend, but now I don't think so.
I think I'm a curse.
We'll have another weekend at some point. All right. We'll get more on the tropics from Dr. Bill coming up throughout the morning. And, of course, twice an hour, every hour, right here at FM Talk 106.5. A quick note here from Daniel on the text line here. I know right where he's talking about here, and, you know, we're all thinking about breakfast this time of morning. He said, hey, I got great news on the way home this morning. Sunshine's Deli in Turnerville. What's up, Turnerville? Between Ace Hardware and GA West on Celeste. So I know that route well, run that route a bunch. Well, they're open, says Daniel. Tammy, who is the proprietor there, has been severely affected by COVID. She's, I guess her business has. She's such a sweet lady, sunshine to everyone who visits. Throws a hell of a breakfast and a lunch. So give her a shout out. Well, let's do that. Tammy, shout out to you. If y'all get a chance, she's open for breakfast this morning. You're coming from Citronelle to Mobile, Mobile to Citronelle. You're just up in the Turnerville area. Go tell her hello. 641, let's check traffic with Kane coming up next.
Make no mistake, an IRS problem is a serious legal matter. I'm local attorney John Willis. My law office is in Fairhope, Alabama, and we focus exclusively on helping people solve their IRS tax problems. Several national tax resolution companies have recently been hit with consumer complaints, lawsuits, and government actions. As a result, many have shut down or filed bankruptcy. So before you send money to an out-of-town company with high-pressure salesmen and a TV spokesperson, check their reputation. My firm has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and we've handled hundreds of cases right here on the Gulf Coast. Your initial consult is completely free and confidential, and we'll tell you on the spot exactly how much it'll cost. So if you're facing IRS wage levies, bank levies, or tax liens, call us today at 251-990-3261 or visit our website, willislawpc.com. That's 251-990-3261 or willislawpc.com. If you have IRS problems, you need an attorney. You need me, John Willis.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.
Professional Collision, seven locations, are ready to make the repair process as safe and as easy as possible by offering vehicle pickup and delivery, as well as curbside drop-off, check-in, and estimating services. Online at professional-collision.com.
Good morning for the Hooters Traffic Center. So far, Mobile Police Department are clear, but state troopers are wrapping up a three-car accident at Lot McCrary. Again, it's off to the side of the road. We look great as you traffic from Tillman's Corner and Theodore. No delays across the Bayway from the Eastern Shore. Bama Flooring on Highway 59 in Robertsdale is now open. They've got a great sale on their 20-mil wear layer engineered waterproof vinyl plank with stone polymer core with lots of color choices, starting at just $2.99. See them at BamaFlooring.com. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 Traffic.
6:43 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Morning. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. Glad to have you along. Text lines open as well at 343-0106. The law enforcement getting pelted with water bottles, being cursed at, yelled at, all that around the country, though. It has been deadly for members of law enforcement or in some cases injured. We've talked about the cases from California, but now yesterday, injuries in St. Louis. Talk us through what happened yesterday.
Yeah, so last night, four officers were shot in St. Louis, Missouri, two in the leg, one in the foot, and one in the arm. They all appear to be stable at this point, not life-threatening conditions there. But that's not the story in Las Vegas, where an officer was shot in the head. According to 8 News Now in Vegas, this was at the Circus Hotel and Casino on the Strip. If anyone's been to Vegas, they've probably seen that. Officer was in a fight with another suspect when someone walked up behind and shot the officer in the head. And that officer is now on life support. They said that was one of two officer-involved shootings in Vegas. There were officers that fired on a suspect at the federal courthouse in a separate incident. They said the suspect was hit several times in that case. Also, Richmond, Virginia, two police officers and a suspect were injured after a shooting. And in Buffalo, New York, an SUV plowed through a group of law enforcement during one of those demonstrations that injured at least two officers. And in the Bronx, a New York Police Department officer was investigating break-ins and was struck by a vehicle early this morning in a hit-and-run. That officer currently in stable condition.
You got to think about this. I'm not the first person to discuss this, but you heard Jeff Sessions talking about it yesterday, too. At what point are you not able to recruit folks into law enforcement? We've been talking about this for years, right, for maybe a decade. And then with this, I mean, if you have a choice of doing whatever or going to law enforcement, and what does that say? Does that smaller pool of applicants for it mean you have, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy? It's just a thought process I've had, that if you have this situation where you have lack of respect for law enforcement, in this case you have outright violence, murder towards law enforcement, then you have a smaller pool of applicants, then you may end up having people on the force that shouldn't be on the force. Therefore, issues happen, whether they be a situation as deadly as the one in Minneapolis or something that is just more pedestrian there, and you continue to degrade the opinion of people about law enforcement, then it just builds that snowball. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And we're looking at some of this right now, I believe.
Yeah, it's already such a dangerous job. And I mean, officers put their lives on the line every day. They don't know when they pull up behind a car and go to that driver's side door, they don't know what's about to happen, no matter who they pull over. And you know, as Americans, for years and years and years, for decades, we've shown police the respect that they deserve for putting their lives on the line like that. And when you have instances like we've seen around the country, I'm right there with you. I don't know, when you put on that uniform and so many people automatically hate you without knowing who's behind the uniform.
That's right. They're prejudiced. They're prejudiced against the uniform. Lots to talk about. We will. By the way, Mobile Police Chief Lawrence Batiste joins us on Midday Mobile at noon today. A guest at noon today. We'll have an in-depth discussion with Chief Batiste, and I'm really looking forward to this. Your questions will be, you can text those in through the day, and we'll get those asked at noon today on Midday Mobile. Also, we talked about the Robert E. Lee statue coming down in Montgomery. Also, the 115-year-old Confederate Soldiers and Sailors Monument in Lynn Park. was brought down. That was brought down by decree of the mayor.
Yeah, they pulled the crane in last night.
Right, so they did this. This will be a big discussion because, of course, they passed a law, two or three sessions ago, I think it's Monuments Act or something like that. It was broadly written, but it was in part to protect Confederate monuments. This has been a violation there. We'll see more on this and what response comes from the Attorney General's office on what happened in Birmingham. And then, by the way, side story. Just side story, and I want to dig into this later on because I find this emblematic of ignorance out there. So some of the I put the pictures up over the last couple of days of the defacing of monuments and statues in Washington without regard for who they were or what they are, mm-hmm. right? Then I saw this, that the statue of David Farragut,
right,
U.S. Navy's first admiral, was tagged with orange paint and defaced there. Point out that, you know, if the people there that are raging against the system are defacing the statue of Farragut, which we all here know, Farragut, the Union fleet commander in the Battle of Mobile Bay, damned the torpedoes full speed ahead. That Farragut, who was from Tennessee, who, when Tennessee seceded, stuck with the Union, mm-hmm. did not stick with the Confederacy. They defaced that statue as well. How about a little education before you riot? 6:48, we'll be right back.
Your CBD store of West Mobile is offering personal shopping hours, curbside, and free delivery. Please call store owner Joe Brown to set up your appointment or for call-in orders. Call your CBD store of West Mobile on Hillcrest at 260-3223 today. That's 260-3223.
This information update brought to you by Wildlife Solutions. When you need experts for any type of wild animal control, call Wildlife Solutions. Rodent and insect removal and property repair. Wildlife Solutions, 654-6778.
Good morning, I'm Jessica Taloney with WKRG News 5 this morning. A suspect is in custody this morning after a fire destroyed an empty restaurant in Tillman's Corner. Flames ripped through Bangkok Thai cuisine Monday night. No one was hurt in the fire. One person was arrested. 13 protesters were arrested in Mobile Sunday night. They are still in jail this morning because of a glitch with the computer system. The protesters and others in Mobile Metro Jail cannot post bond while the jail's records system is down. System crashed Monday morning. Some of those arrested during the protest on Airport Boulevard at the I-65 service road have been charged with burglary, arson, looting, criminal mischief, and disorderly conduct. The Dolphin Island Sea Lab reopens today. The aquarium is back open after being closed for more than 2 months due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Doors at the Sea Lab open at noon. Before visiting, guests are required to purchase tickets online. I'm Jessica Taloney, WKRG News 5.
Maaco Forestry has the equipment and the knowledge to make your small or large property more usable, valuable, and absolutely more beautiful. Call Maaco Forestry, 251-747-1802, or online, makoforestry.com, and on Facebook.
Good morning, 10 till 7 on FM Talk 106.5. It's time for the Mobile Morning Sports Report. Legendary former Auburn football coach Pat Dye passed away yesterday at the age of 80.
I wouldn't swap this year for any year that I've been at Auburn. I wouldn't swap it, men, because I've watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels, but I watched you grow up and become men.
That was Dye speaking to his 1989 Auburn team after they beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl for the fourth year in a row. It was the first time since 1901 the game was played outside of Birmingham. Dye was born in Blythe, Georgia, played college football for the Bulldogs before starting his coaching career at Alabama under head coach Bear Bryant. After taking over as the Auburn head coach in 1981, Dye led the Tigers to 4 SEC championships and was named the SEC's Coach of the Year 3 times. His 99 wins ranks 3rd in program history, and Dye was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2005. A couple of weeks ago, Dye went to East Alabama Medical Center in Opelika for kidney complications. He tested positive for COVID-19 while in the hospital. According to 24/7 Sports, Dye was moved to the Bethany House in Auburn and early yesterday morning was able to listen to phone calls from family, friends, and former players. The cause of death has not been released and details will be announced at a later date on Dye's memorial. As Major League Baseball owners and players try to find common ground on player compensation before beginning the delayed 2020 season, the MLB is preparing its next offer to the MLB Players Union. In March, the players' union and owners agreed to a deal that would pay the players a prorated salary, but that was on the condition that fans would be allowed to attend games. Last week, the owners sent a new proposal to the players that called for an 82-game regular season and pay cuts for every player in the league. That proposal was nearly universally panned by ball players. The union made a counterproposal on Sunday, calling for prorated pay and a 114-game regular season that would end by Halloween. Now, according to ESPN, the owners are mulling over the idea of a 50-game regular season, which they believe MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred has the power to implement if the two sides can't come to an agreement. The players would receive prorated pay with the new proposal, but that would only be 30% of the length of a normal 162-game season. Clemson Tigers head football coach Dabo Swinney said yesterday that wide receiver Justin Ross will miss the 2020 football season. Ross was injured during a spring practice in March and is now scheduled to fly to Pittsburgh on Thursday and have surgery to correct a congenital fusion on Friday. The condition, which Ross was apparently born with, is an abnormal fusion of any two of the seven bones in the neck. Ross was set to be the team's top returning receiver after making 66 catches for 865 yards and 8 touchdowns last season. Former Alabama wide receiver Henry Ruggs III reportedly suffered a thigh injury yesterday while helping a friend move. His father, Henry Ruggs Jr., told ESPN that his son was trying to move a trailer and was pinned against either a wall or a car. Ruggs reportedly suffered a cut on his thigh. He's now walking on crutches.
Oh, no.
The Las Vegas Raiders selected Ruggs with the number 12 pick in this year's NFL draft. He was the first wide receiver off the board.
Come on, Ruggs.
Right now, no more details on his injury. 653 FM Talk 106.5. That's a look at sports on Mobile Mornings. And pay for a moving company, Ruggs.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You got the money now.
Yeah, have other people do that for you, man. God bless.
This information update brought to you by Morgan and Morgan. For the people.
Workplace injury, dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Your trust in us means the world to me. There's only one Morgan and Morgan. ForThePeople.com.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The skies will be mostly cloudy across the Gulf Coast today. Look for scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon with temperatures in the upper 80s. Tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s. And then tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms are likely with highs in the mid 80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
At Roy Lewis Construction, we're in the business of adding value. Whether it's working with you to meet your unique business needs or making investments in our community in lasting ways, providing unparalleled value and quality in every commercial construction project. When planning your next commercial project, reach out to Roy Lewis Construction. We'll pair you with a designer that best suits your project needs and work with that designer to balance the best architectural outcome with the best budget outcome. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com. Building legacies, one relationship at a time.
Good morning from the springofToyota.com traffic center. We've had a good ride across the Bayway, Fairhope, Daphne, and Spanish Fort clear. And no delays downtown for the George Wallace to Bankhead Tunnels, I-10, Dolphin Island Parkway, all the way to Rangeline and Theodore Dawes Road are looking good with no new wrecks in the roadways. Silver Creek Shooting Range is accepting memberships. They're the only shooting range in the area with tactical, moving, and shooting ranges with a 1,000-yard range all on 160 acres. Go to silvercreekrange.com and hit the info request button. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Thank you, Kane. 655 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Thinking about Coach Dye's passing and the kidney issue there reminded me of a story I saw over the weekend. I want to bring this up because this is, I think, worth talking about. Somebody that I watched debate, one of the candidates for AL1 for the Democrats, Keani Gardner. She was did the Democrat debate that our buddy Robert Kennedy Jr. put on that we aired here at FM Talk 106.5, and she's in this runoff. Well, Keani Gardner has now donated a kidney.
What?
Okay, donated a kidney. Keani, I don't know her exact age, but I think she's around my age or younger probably, and I'm 47, so she's in her probably 30s or 40s. She just donated a kidney to a stranger.
Wow.
So a story from WKRG over the weekend said Democrat candidate Dr. Keani Gardner donated a kidney to a stranger as in what's known as a altruistic donor. Okay. And so there's a person in North Alabama that needed the kidney. She didn't know the person, not family member or anything like that. It's a donation happened in April in the tail end of Alabama's pandemic shutdown. Gardner says it's something that had been in the works for 2 years after being inspired to donate after hearing a friend's story. So they put her together with somebody who needed a kidney. They made the match. She donated the kidney.
Wow, that's admirable.
Very admirable. I think it's worth talking about there. So, yeah, just that kidney, it got me thinking about it because I saw that over the weekend. It's one of those things that'll come across my dashboard there on the weekend, and I'm like, I got to get that story on, and it reminded me, so thank you. Also, as we look at the insects in the news, not murder hornets, but these are called
riot bees.
Okay, coming up, we got a story about riot bees. So you got rioters, and you look at pepper balls, tear gas, batons, ways to deal with crowds and riots. What about turning some riot bees?
Yeah.
Loose on them.
Ready to roll.
That's on the way with all the other pertinent news when we return for hour number two of Mobile Mornings.